News Radio 92.3.
News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
The views and opinions expressed on this show are those of the sponsor, Olive Branch Pet Hospital, and Play and Stay Boarding and Daycare.
You big disgrace, kicking your can all over the place, singing, we will rock you.
News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Welcome back to Pep Talk. I'm your host, PJ, filling in for Meg, who unfortunately is out sick today. Our guest for this half hour is Dr. Mark Sprayberry from the Olive Branch Pet Hospital and Play and Stay Boarding and Daycare. He is the owner, and welcome back to the show.
Hey, it's great to be back. Hope Meg is going to be. I hope she's on the mend.
I hope so too.
Back soon, yes.
Yes.
But it's the boys are back in town here. We're here, so that's good. Yeah.
All right. So what are you seeing at your hospital lately?
Well, I just want to tell you, PJ, I want to talk a little bit about number one thing I probably see in my office, other than upset stomachs, are ear infections. Okay. And I'd just like to hit that point a couple of times because it's so prevalent right now, especially with so hot and humid. Pets are, jumping in the Gulf, they're jumping in the pools, et cetera. And ear infection can be really, really bad and miserable for them. Mm-hmm. So just want to talk a little bit about, what goes on, how we treat it, maybe how you can semi-prevent it.
Yeah. Okay,
on a maintenance level.
Mm-hmm. So what should people be looking for?
Well, most of the dogs will start, not always, but most will start shaking their heads. And you may notice an odor in the ear. If it's real bad, you can smell it in the room. You don't have to lift the ear to look, but look in the ear. If it's red, is there stuff draining out of it? That's something you need to, you need to come see us for. Mm-hmm. Okay?
Okay.
Or see your veterinarian for, because these things can cause head tilts and all kinds of neurologic issues and things like that. So when you come in, most of the time what we'll do is in my office is we'll take a look. I'll look in there, look at the whole pet, but look in there. And then take a little swab, cotton swab. And then we have a special machine we put on it called the Imagist, which is I look at it first manually where we stain the slide and I look under a microscope, or my nurses do. And then we put it on a machine called the Imagist. The Imagist is an artificial intelligence machine. Now, I'm not a big fan of AI. However, I do so much cancer work, and, of course, we do a lot of ear infections and stuff. What it does that I can't do on a microscope manually is it'll count the colonies of the yeast and the different types of bacteria. Different ear infections require different treatments, okay? And a lot of people, some of my clients will come and say, hey, doc, he's got that ear infection again. Can you just give me some more medicine? Well, if it's something that's been real consistent throughout the dog's life, and there's a lot of reasons for ear infections we'll go over in a moment, but sometimes I'll say, okay, yeah, just drop by. We'll have it up at front desk with the ladies, and you can just pick it up.
Mm-hmm.
But especially if something I hadn't seen in a while or seen before, then I want them to come in, and I want to see what kind of infection it is. It can be yeast and then a couple, three types of bacteria. The shape of the bacteria is either cocci or rods in most cases, okay? Cocci is more like your staph and those kind of things, which can be very bad too, but rod-shaped bacteria tends to be more of a gram-negative, whereas cocci is more gram-positive. Gram-negative infections are very, very bad. And a lot of times it's called Pseudomonas. Now, Pseudomonas used to be the infection you got at the hospital, that was very, very devastating. Now it's called MRSA, okay? So MRSA and Pseudomonas are different infections, but and we do see MRSA too.
Mm-hmm.
But Pseudomonas tends to be more in pets. It's something that if you post-surgery or whatever in the hospital or whatever, you're doing great and you come down with an infection, a lot of times it's MRSA. And that's methicillin, which is an antibiotic, methicillin-resistant staphylococcus. And so that can be a very bad disease. And we do see that from time to time. It is normal for your dog to have a little bit of MRSA on the skin, and it's non-infectious. They have a better immune system than we do, PJ. I mean, their temperatures are normally 102.
Oh, wow.
Where ours is 98.6.
Mm-hmm.
So we are more susceptible to things than our pet friends.
I did not know that.
Yeah, true. And that's why, the metabolic rate's so much higher. That's why they lived, you know, 12, 14, 15. You know, of course, I did have a golden retriever once that lived 22 years. Its owner was 85, and her mom was 111. So, and I'm talking about the human parents.
Sure.
The grandmother was 111 years old at Azalea Trace. So, mm-hmm. I mean, there must have been some, there's something in the water in Pensacola. I always tell people, and they lived at Port Royal downtown, I've tell people, say, well, you know, Ponce de Leon, the founder of the Fountain of Youth, did not land in St. Augustine area in Central Florida. He landed in Pensacola Harbor because of these pets. But back to the ears. So we take a swab. We look on the images machine. We determine what it is, and then we treat it. And there's two or three different treatments. One treatment we use a lot, we put the medication down in the ear. It lasts 30 days. You do nothing. Now, my owners, a lot, you know, we're busy folks, guys. Everybody's busy. They love that, okay? The other treatment I use, mainly for the rod-shaped bacteria, Pseudomonas, is a medication that you have to put in the ear every day. And then I recheck it in 7 to 10 days, depending on what it is and how the dog is doing. Occasionally, I'll do a little small steroid shot that'll last about 2 days just to get that inflammation down so the dog will stop shaking his head so mom and dad can sleep at night because, you know, this will drive you nuts. Mm-hmm. My pets have had this too. And, you know, I've been known to get up in the middle of the night and go back to my office and get a shot and come home and give it and go back to sleep. So that's the deal with and ear infections. You know, one more thing too, PJ, when you're dealing with this, especially the rod-shaped bacteria, and your vet will tell you, be sure and wash your hands, okay? Because that stuff is contagious. Make sure that little people in your house, children, really make sure they wash those hands because you don't want any kind of cross contamination.
Yeah, that's a good tip.
Yeah. So, but it, basically, most things, the stuff called Claro, we put in the ear once a month. It lasts 30 days. Then we recheck it in 30 days. And most of the time, that's taken care of it. The only thing about that product is they can't get in the water. And if you bathe them, you got to put some, you know, cotton balls or something down in the ear, paper towel to keep the water out.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And of course, no pool or golf time. The product we use for the Pseudomonas, I don't like for them to get in the water for 7 to 10 days until we get it cleared up. But if they have to get in the water, that's okay.
Yeah.
Right? Because we're going to put new medicine in every day.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And usually we check that in about 10 days, and most oftentimes it's clear. But if they got ear infection, folks, don't go pouring vinegar and peroxide and all that down in there. Okay.
Oh.
It's a chemical burn. It makes it worse. It just takes longer to clear it up. Okay. And so don't do that. Now, as far as prevention, you're a veterinarian. There's a lot of things out there. I had a very nice lady, a client of mine, come in yesterday, and she was putting something she'd gotten off the internet. Well, it was just making it worse. Okay. It was basically glorified souped up water is what it was. Okay. And had a lot of alcohol in it, et cetera. Mm-hmm. So it was just burning the ear, and already it was already, you know, pretty PO'd. The product we like to use is something with Triz-ETTA and maybe some ketoconazole. Those are just some big medicine words. But all your vet, every vet has a formulation of it. There's different names and size bottles. But after we get an infection clear, especially on a golden retriever, a big dog that likes to jump in the pool every day, you know, I recommend using it once or twice a week just for maintenance, okay? And that doesn't totally keep the pet out of my office for treatment or that I have to see every now and then. But it sure does cut it down a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and with all the cancer and all the really bad stuff I see, you know, I try to help my clients. I try to save them money by, okay, you can treat this.
Yeah.
But when it gets to this point, bring them in.
Right.
Okay. So that's kind of the thing. And I just want to go through that, folks. It's just, I see it all the time. I see it 3 or 4 cases a day, at least, especially since it's gotten hot and humid.
Yeah.
Okay.
What are some of the other causes? You mentioned the pool. You mentioned the humidity.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Excellent. If it's a common thing, if it's something that's happening where we clear it, it comes back, clears it up, we clear it up, comes back, clears it up, we clear it up, come back, then a certain component of it is a food allergy, okay? So it's the protein in the food. So 67% of dogs with food allergies are allergic to chicken, beef, wheat, and milk.
Really?
Okay, yeah. And
those are things that they would enjoy, right?
Yeah, of course. And, you know, chicken and beef are, you know, the leftover from the human market, you know, and it's very readily available. That's why they put it in all the food. Now, my personal dog, I have 2 Shetland sheepdogs, Quinn and Finley. Most of y'all out there know that. And I know Finley didn't have any problems, but Quinn would start digging at her ears. And so I put her on a hypoallergenic diet, and that the ear infections went away. Not to say she doesn't scratch her ear occasionally. I mean, every dog would scratch their ear. If, you know, it could be a gnat or a fly or mosquito flying around. They're doing it for that reason, whatever. But it basically stopped the problem, and I hadn't treated an infection in her in a long time. So hypoallergenic food is ones the veterinarian has. You got to be careful with this stuff over the counter. The reason being is food that they say is hypoallergenic that you buy in, like, pet stores that are not prescription, the product is made on equipment that has made regular food, and then they put the hypoallergenic food, and then they make regular food, so it's cross-contaminated. Mm. Whereas with Science Diet, Royal Canin, Purina, Pro Plan, those are the three foods I recommend. Their hypoallergenic food is made on in a separate building on separate machinery. So you know it's not cross-contaminated. And also make sure if you're getting treats, they are hypoallergenic. A lot of people advertise this stuff, guys, and it's a lot of false advertising out there just to sell a product. And just be careful what you get on the internet. I think this client of mine paid $50 for this bottle of, like, souped up water. That's okay. What it was. So anyway, you know, text us, guys, and if you have any questions, I'll be glad to answer.
437-1620.
Yeah. And I'll be glad to answer anything. I mean, pets with chronic issues, it's a problem, okay? Because then the architecture of the interior of the ear starts changing. It starts getting stenotic or narrowed. And then, you know, those ears are never going to be normal. So then at a point, it's a maintenance thing. You're just trying to keep it from being real bad, okay? So we don't want that to happen, all right? But you see it a lot in your brachiocephalic breeds like pugs and bulldogs, you know, anything with a smushed up face, everything's kind of smushed up. Their nose, their ears, their eye, I mean, all that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So those type breeds, love them. But the package they come in is not is not great.
So there are some breeds that are susceptible more than others.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Especially bulldogs and pugs and those. You know, I love the personalities. Don't get me wrong. Love them. But it's the package. And, you know, I could have a practice where I just treated bulldogs. Because, you know, the all the plastic surgery they need, you know, and all the stuff we do. And I'm thinking, you know, if I had about 25 or 30, I wouldn't have to have any other pet come in. I mean, they are really high maintenance creatures.
Yeah. So what are homeowners looking for in terms of signs with their animal? How do they know if it's an allergy, if it's something more serious, if they're just flicking, you know, fleas or something off their ear? I mean, how do they determine that?
Well, usually what I tell people is look in the ear. If it's red and that redness doesn't go away, it's more than likely a yeast infection and or a bacterial infection, sometimes both.
Mm-hmm.
And it depends on what it is how you treat it.
Okay.
All right.
And then after they get the prescription from you, you send them home with a treatment plan, I would guess?
Yes. Most of the time I put, if it's something simple, I'll put something called Claro. It's a great product. You put it in. I put it in, and it lasts 30 days. You don't have to do anything. Just can't get water in the ear. The ones that are the real bad infections is something you have to put in every day, and then I have to recheck it about in 7 to 10 days, depending on how bad it is and whatnot, and the type breed and all that. And a lot of times, if it comes back and keeps coming back, PJ, a lot of times I'll say, look, let's just go ahead and put them on hypoallergenic food. My professor at University of Florida would say, you need to do it for at least 8 to 10 weeks. Well, in the real world out here, 80% respond in 2 weeks, the other 20%. It takes about 6 to 8 weeks, 4 to 6 weeks.
Okay.
So I just tell people, you know, we got it, do it, and let's see if it clears up and doesn't come back, then you're saving yourself a whole lot of money coming to see me about all these ear infections.
Okay. Dr. Mark Sprayberry is our guest, 437-1620, if you have any questions. We do have two questions for you on the text line. As I get older, I'm told to get an annual physical. Is this true for my fur babies as well?
Yeah, that's a good question, PJ. We try to get my patients in twice a year, okay? I was taught, and I'm not sure anybody's ever really proven this, you know, but, you know, a dog's life is 7 years to our one, you know, that kind of thing. A cat may be 9. I mean, cats certainly have 9 lives, I'll tell you. I mean, you know, some of these new vets coming out of school, and they'll rotate through my office in their last year of schooling just because, you know, the universities do it a certain way, and then in the real world, you know, it's done like that, but maybe we alter things just because, mm-hmm. you know, it is a business. Universities have endless money, you know, businesses. But, and I tell these kids, I say, look, when you get out of school, you're going to be a little nervous about treating certain things because nobody's standing behind you telling you if you're doing it right or not, like a clinical professor. I said, so just treat cats and pit bulls. You can't kill them, okay? And it's a joke, people. That's a joke. But it is some truth to that,
too. Okay. Second question is, what is the best flea tick heartworm medication for a small dog like a Yorkie?
Okay, well, those are all – these. That's an excellent question. All the heartworm preventions and flea preventions these days are great. Okay, they are. You know, I've been using a heart guard for – you know, I've been practicing 31 years, 25 years here in Pensacola. You know, we're starting to see there's been some, and that's the original kind of heartworm prevention, if you will. I mean, there was one called Filarabits where you had to give it every day back when we were kids, PJ. You had to do it every day. You know, now it's like a once a month pill or a topical.
Mm-hmm.
Your veterinarian will have their favorite on that. In my office, I use NexGard Plus. It does heartworm, fleas, ticks, intestinal parasites. It's great if there's mange. You know, now I don't have to treat it the old way with old, you know, baths and rinses and oral medication every day for weeks. So the new products out, Simparica Trio is a good product too. All of these are good products. HeartGuard, we've been seeing a little resistance to in the Mississippi Delta and in the Louisiana area, the Bayou area. Mm. Now, Florida used to be number one for heartworm. But it has, I think we're number three or four. You have to check me on that. But I believe it's Texas and probably Mississippi, Louisiana, and then us. It's something like that.
Okay.
But we used to be number one. But we are number one for fleas in Florida. And that's, you know, three things cause itching in Florida, guys. You know, I've said this many times. It's fleas, food, and Florida. Florida being the grass, pollen, tree, hay fever, the tropical climate.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. All right, third question for you. For middle-aged cats, is wet food or dry food better?
Well, that's a really good question. You know, the first show, PJ, we got a call from a guy. I got to tell this story. This is hilarious. Of course, it's the first show. I'm nervous. I'm not knowing what I'm doing. Meg's sitting there. And the guy called us on the phone,
mm-hmm.
and he says, hey, what's the difference between wet food and dry food in a cat? I said, well, you know, caloric density, you know, cat food and, you know, the can has a lot of water in it. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's why it's so expensive. You know, you ship, it takes a lot of money to ship, you know, a lot of water in cat food. And then the dry food. But calorically, it's basically the same. The only difference is that it can make the litter box smell a little, you know, rough, you know, canned food does. Well, the gentleman had called in and said, well, my wife and I are in, we just get in fights all the time about this. And I said, well, you know, the difference is the calories are fine. It's just the litter box. He went, bingo. And I said, now, hang on a minute. Is your wife sitting there listening to me and you talk, the guy talk here? He said, no, I had to leave the house to give you a call. That was so freaking funny that day. And it's my first time on the air. And I said, oh, my gosh, this is going to be a trip. But to answer the question, no, not really. I mean, my cat doesn't like canned food. Okay. She's just always eating dry. Now, if I'm eating a little chicken salad, she may want a little taste of that or something like that. But some cats like would rather have canned. You know, if a cat is an older cat and it's lost a lot of its teeth and is having trouble like that, canned is probably the better way to go. Either one is fine.
Okay.
But it depends on the kitty, what they prefer. Three foods I recommend though, guys, because I get this in all the time. Is Science Diet, because they've been around since 1939 and it's founded by veterinarians, run by veterinarians. Another good company is Royal Canin. That's canine without the E on the end.
Mm.
And the third one is Purina Pro Plan, which is their upper level. So you feed one of those diets, you're not going to have any problems much. Okay. I just don't see pets come in that are eating that. I just don't see many problems. Okay. But there's a lot out there that's not very good. That's, you know, it's a lot of fat, a lot of salt they put in there just to make it palatable.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's the thing. So.
Yeah. Before we move on to play and stay, anything that you wanted to wrap up your infection wise for animals?
Well, just get it checked.
Okay.
You know, just get it checked and all. To go back to the cat question, either one, whatever your cat prefers, because cats are from another planet. I've said it a million times on this show. Cats are not, they're from another planet. Go with what they do. Everybody, I'm at 4220 North Davis Highway. I'm across the street from Bailey's Farmers Market. Been here 25 years. I've been practicing 31. We do a lot of cancer. We do everything. But if you're having trouble with diagnoses and your vet's just having trouble, come see us. We see a lot of referrals for that, okay? And we'll get you squared away. And I'll spend a lot of time with you, too.
All right. Dr. Mark Sprayberry is our guest from Isle of Pet Hospital and the plane stay for pet boarding. So let's talk a little bit about the pet boarding a little bit, because I know you wanted to mention that today as well. What sets you apart with your boarding for dogs and cats?
Well, that's a good question, PJ. I am I have 4.2 acres there on Davis, and my boarding facility with the clinic's about 13,000 square feet. Now, they're separate buildings, but it's on the same property. The big difference between me and some of the others, there's a number of corporate places in town where people buy franchises. And then there's some veterinarians that own some some boarding facilities around town.
Mm-hmm.
I'm the only one in the panhandle that I'm on property. Okay. I'm there. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And when I'm not there, Dr. Stephanie Kairos, tremendous amount of experience, been with me 12, 14 years. Stephanie's there. So if there's any issues, you know, say you bring your pet in, they're nervous, they have a little diarrhea, boom, I'm on it. Okay. So when you go some of these other places, what happens is your pet has a problem, they're going to call you and you have to come get them and all. And the story I tell is a real good friend of mine had a Shih Tzu, and she was at a boarding, one of these daycares, you know, corporate owned daycare, and the dog started having a seizure.
Mm.
Well, what are you going to do? Well, the people there, they tried to get a hold of her. She's a school teacher in town, so it took her 20 minutes to get like somebody to cover her first grade or second grade class. Then by the time she got there, it was 30, 40 minutes. And then by the time she got to my office, it was an hour. And this little dog's name's Kiko. Kiko's temperature was 106.
Mm.
Okay, when it gets up like that, folks, you know, they're not going to make it. So what I did on this one, and the owner's a very good friend of mine, I took her home. I made my wife sleep on the couch. And I put Kiko
which
in the bed.
She gladly did.
I'm sure, yeah. And I put Kiko in the bed with me, and I had a catheter in, an IV catheter, and I would just give her a little bit of Valium throughout mm-hmm. the night to kind of see what, you know, and that dog ended up doing really well, and, you know, we had no idea the dog had seizures. A little Shih Tzu named Kiko after Kikamon soy sauce.
Oh.
So that's the big difference. I'm there. If you're having a problem, we are used to dealing with problems. We take in a lot of pets who have a lot of medical issues that need to be boarded, and people have to leave town for whatever reason.
Mm-hmm.
So give us a call. We do a great job. We have a great daycare. They have, you know, all kinds of events. They have apple bottoming, kissing booth, chase the leprechaun. You know, they have all kinds of these little events they're doing every day back there to, you know, to keep them busy. And
absolutely.
And we play and they'll run and they'll go home exhausted, eat their dinner and go to sleep. And that's what my owners want.
Awesome. All right. Well, we have about 10 seconds left. Do you want to just kind of mention how people can get a hold of you again?
Yeah, it's at 42 North Davis Highway, Olive Branch Pet Hospital, and phone number 850-477-2901. We're on all the social medias. And by the way, I do a little pet talk on TikTok too. So look me up.
All right. Sounds good. Thank you for being here today.
Thanks, PJ. Hey, God bless everybody. Appreciate y'all.